I was always wanted to. I'm a people person, and I want everybody to get along. I have my tendency to tell people what they want to hear. And so I had to go, Jesus Christ is either going to be the reason why people like me, or the reason why people are getting away from me. It was off. And it was nectar to other people. The wrong people, they got sick of it. And they got away from it. It hurt a little bit. But then guess who came around? I'm like, yeah, it is good off. Like, you're all about Yahweh and Christ. Yeah, you don't like that? No, good, then you need to get going. That door's right over there. Finding the original writings. It's that really the teaching tonight is going to be the beginning. I'll try to go through all these slides. But the teaching is going to be on the 18 years of Josiah. The 18th year of Josiah is going to be 2 Kings chapter 22. Now, there's going to be a little disclaimer. The 18th year of Josiah does not specifically say the 18th year of his reign. The teaching is going to be saying he's going to agree with E.W. Bullinger believes it was his 18th year of his reign. So we'll be looking at it. And so the whole teaching about what I'm getting ready to show is going to say this is according to the 18th year of his reign. So we could go on and say in 2 Kings, they're going to say, well, it could have been his 18th year, possibly. But E.W. Bullinger and I, this is the whole teaching, so that's a little disclaimer on it. But finding the original writings, if we find the original writings, if they conflict with our beliefs, do you tear your clothes in repentance or do you kill the messenger? I've done both. The people. I've torn my clothes at times. A lot of times I was, but the other time when people told me something I didn't want to hear, when it conflicted, I wanted to yell at them. Go! It's not about what you said. It's how you said it. You're a jerk. And they come back and say, "Well, let's discuss the scriptures." I'm not talking to you because you're a jerk. Yeah. Let's discuss the scriptures. And so with Gideon, when Gideon confronted the idolatry in Israel, what did they want to do with him?
Kill him.
They want to kill him. Josiah, when he found out that somebody said they're in sin, kill him. That's one thing. I've done that to people that literally kill them and say, shut up or stay away. They're so negative. Been there. Then you have Josiah, and we're going to learn some neat things about Josiah, that he was very, very, very unique, that he tore his clothes. When he found out that his life was not in line with Yahweh, it broke his heart. And who are we? We get to decide that each day. We shouldn't say, I am a Josiah. Prove it each day. When you get confronted, what do you do? There's a thing about the truth. We all say we want to know the truth. But usually what we want is we want to be validated what we already believe is true. And we'll surround people that are just like us. Oh, you're Presbyterian, I'm Presbyterian. Good. Don't stir the pot. We get along, right? Just don't talk about politics. You know? But we got one life to live. There's going to be a final examination. Christ is going to say, what did you do? Matthew chapter 15, which is a great one, because the Sadducees and the Pharisees come to Jesus Christ and they go, why do your disciples transgress our traditions? I had somebody recently just say that to me because I said Trinity wasn't in the Bible. They said, you know, you...
What?
No. They were warning me. They go, when you say that, do you know that you could be excommunicated? You'll be anathematized if you say anything against the Trinity. And I looked at them and I said, yeah. And they go, okay, but boy, you better be real careful with that. And I go, is it in the Bible though? No, it's not. Then why am I attacked like that? And they're like, I'm not sure. I said, when Jesus Christ's disciples could, how easily could it have been for them to wash their hands? Wouldn't that been easy?
Yeah.
Hey guys, we don't want to take anybody off. Just go wash your hands. Do you think that they probably washed their hands anyways? I think it'd be very, yeah. And it was a tradition. Jesus Christ stirred the pot. He broke up all kinds of traditions. But what did he do? I can imagine, they're getting ready to wash your hands. He's like, don't worry about it. They said, why do you transgress our traditions? And he goes, why do you transgress the commandments of my father? For it is written, thou shalt honor thy mother and thy father. And you say, whatever they did for me is a gift. He got right in their face. He picked a fight. And they go, ooh, they wanted to kill him for it. They were confronted. by their traditions. So I've had this over and over again. I just got to witness to somebody. They go, well, you don't know what it's like to have to change or somebody to confront. I go, are you kidding me? My whole life has been turned upside down over and over again because I'm surrounded by believers that are running the race in a way in which to win. I said, I didn't know that there was Yahweh's name. And when I learned it, it really irritated me. And then I didn't know about the new heaven and new earth. And when somebody started talking about the new heaven and earth and the book of Revelation, he irritated me. I didn't like the guy. And they're like, oh, what else? I go, I didn't know that there wasn't hell in the Old Testament. They go, what else? I didn't know that Noah had 7 sheep on his ark, 14. I didn't know these things. And then I got to keep learning. And the objective is not to be right. Our objective is to change until we're right. That's what Rotherham did. And to have people in your life, you know, Rush Limbaugh said something once when I was a kid, listening to the radio. He goes, the tendency is to surround yourself with people just like you. Or... mm-hmm. Hang around bums.
Yeah,
you look great.
Makes you feel good. Yeah.
Makes you feel great. Because, but if you want to achieve anything in this life, hang out with more successful people. You want to do something? This guy was asking, Rush Limbaugh, one of the most successful Americans there is in the United States, in the world, possibly. What do you do? He goes, hang out with more successful people. And that's what we should be doing if you want to know the truth. Now, this the teaching last week at New Spring, the guy said something I thought was revolutionary. This guy goes, a lot of people would say, I'd love to hear Jesus teach. I would love to hear Jesus Christ teach. And he went, no, you wouldn't. He got right in people's faces. He turned things upside down. He taught parables so they couldn't understand it. He flipped over tables. He did all these things. And he goes, you wouldn't like it. And he goes, most Christians today, hey, give me 2 scriptures and don't rough the flood. And that's what people think. You know, that would have been Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ would have been everybody get an opportunity. Who wants to know the truth? My sister pointed out to me when I was waiting tables that I was only claiming 10% to the IRS. And my baby sister says, who's your sufficiency? Is it the IRS? Is it government? Or is it Yahweh, Aaron? And I said, if I claimed all when I make waiting tables, I'm going to owe a lot of taxes. And she said, who's your sufficiency? Turned around and walked off. And you know what I wanted to do, my baby sister? I wanted to grab her because I'd been her like her personal trainer and I've been helping her over and over again. I went, grab my neck, you ungrateful! And I wanted to kill the messenger.
Yeah.
You know what that is when you want to kill the messenger? It's your old man. Colossians 3 says, kill your old man. If somebody corrects you and you want to grab their face, take a time out and go, why? What just happened here? If what they said, is it true? Yes, it's how they said it. Worry about the presentation later. Is it true? It is true. Go thank them. Why? A wise man likes reproof. He likes the wise man seek correction. Scoffers don't. He said, correct a wise man, he'll thank you. You're going to go, hmm. And so my sister, it took a long time for me to admit it. And so I had to go back. I started claiming all my tips. And then the managers went, you got to talk. And I go, what's going on? He goes, Aaron, what's going on with your taxes? You know, what do you mean? He goes, you just claimed you sold $1,200 last night. I go, I did. He goes, yeah, I know. Everybody knows what you sold. Because you know how much taxes you're going to owe? And I went,
I know.
And I said, IRS is not my God. And he goes, Aaron, are you sure you're going to do this? And I said, I'm not lying on it. And I turned around and walked off. And guess what I have to owe? Taxes. But guess who paid those taxes?
Yeah.
The God who I honored. How was I able to give you that testimony? A 19-year-old little girl confronted me, and I wanted to smush her face in. Thank you, Rachel. She confronted me. Wise man seeks counsel. Now, here's some scriptures. I'm just going to call it shock jock. Here's some things that get people's attention. Now, it's not going to be getting our attention, but this is kind of building up to getting to Josiah. It'd be nice if somebody had that Bible there. Dad, why don't you grab that?
That's a good one.
Yes. That one? Yeah, it's got a lot of bad translations side by side.
Don't worry.
But you get to see the bad translations side by side. Okay, so here's just good food for thought as we're getting ready to talk to people. You're going to say, hey, we like shock jocks. Hey, did you know that President Trump's father started off by building garages? One of the biggest, most successful builders who's... yeah, garages. Yeah, and then I read this article and it said, people just, the automobile had started becoming successful. People started having the automobiles, and he was like, I guess they're going to need a barn for these things in the urban areas. Did you know that? Isn't that kind of cool to know something? Let's apply that to the scriptures now. So you can go to believers, and you go, hey, let's talk about some things. Now, these could be easy. Any believer who doesn't know any scripture or anything, you go, hey, here's some popular questions. Who will save your soul? Would that be popular in a coffee shop? Mm-hmm. Where does your soul go when you die? Most people say, well, you're going to go to hell. You're going to go to heaven. If you're a Catholic, it goes to purgatory. Who does a soul belong to? Wait a minute, I saw this. I saw it on Bedazzled. At the end of it, you can't sell something that never owned you. Oh, the soul, because the soul belongs to God. That was in Bedazzled. So these are popular questions on soul. So these could be important, trivial questions, but they could also be a good way to lead people into conversation. When you're discussing scripture, so I just got done witnessing to somebody today, and it was very heated, and they don't like me. And they said, and they wanted to talk about other things, and I said, we're not supposed to strive. We're not supposed to fist fight. Unprofitable discourse. And I go, you want to talk about something? I said, if we want to eliminate arguments, endless genealogies, say, what is the Hebrew word? What Hebrew word are we discussing? And if they don't have the Hebrew word, don't waste your time. It's just opinions. You have your opinion. I'm not going to argue with a Denver Bronco fan that thinks they're the best friend. Hey. I don't care.
What?
Chief, you like pumpkin pie? I like protein. Fine, keep it. But you should say, what Hebrew word do you want to argue or discourse? Well, I don't know. Why don't you go find it? We'll come back. And if they don't go find it, then they don't want to know. A lot of people just want to fight. But the Hebrew word for soul, if you turn in Psalms 116:8, you don't have to go there. But do you have the ESV? Oh.
I can get the ESV.
You don't have to. I have
never
the ESV
here.
Quoted. So Psalms 116, verse 8. I have it up here. You can read off the screen too.
Oh.
Here's King David.
For you have delivered my soul from death.
Okay. That translation does not conflict with our understanding today. So if somebody comes in and says something, you got to be, wait a minute, chapter and verse, and just because it says it once, is there a continuity from cover to cover? We can look at the book of Job and pull things out of context. We can look at the Gospel of John and pull things out of context. We can look at the book of Revelation. What is this word here? Soul is the Hebrew word nephesh. Okay, and so what we have here, if you look at the very bottom, let's see if I can zoom in without messing it up. See the AV 753? Mm-hmm. Authorized Version, King James. That Hebrew word is translated 753 times. Or it's in the Hebrew text. How many times? 753. Out of the 753, how many times is it translated soul? 475. It's also translated life, 117. Person, 29. Mind, 15. Heart, 15. Creature, 9. Body, 8. Here's the Hebrew word. And so this person went, well, why do we have to talk about the Hebrew word? I said, well, what did Moses write? Jesus Christ on the road to Emmaus, he pops up in his new body. The two guys are bummed out because the Messiah, the promise to see the woman, finally shows up after 4,000 years. He gets murdered. He's gone. He's AWOL. And he goes, what are you guys talking about? Man, isn't that great? Man.
Yeah.
Who are you? How do you not know what we're talking about? The hero is here anyway. Were they confused?
Yes.
Why were the Jews confused at Jesus Christ's time? Because they weren't taught the Torah. They were taught, what was the oral law called? I forgot. They're taught oral traditions. And so Jesus Christ would keep breaking all their traditions. It is written, it is written, it is written. But what did Jesus Christ do with the men on the road to Emmaus? Beginning with
Moses.
Paul Moses, yeah.
So here's two people whose whole world was turned upside down. He didn't begin with the Gospel of John. Wasn't written yet. Beginning with Moses. And he started with Moses. And what a great way for all of us to go, let's just start with Moses. Well, we're in the New Testament now. Somebody has to say it. Let's just see what King David would have been taught. So here is looking at the word nephesh. And I got to witnessing to this person too, and there's a good chance I'll never see him again. Because they didn't want to hear it, but I was like, you want to know the truth, here this is. I said, if you want to know about somebody and what they mean, you see how they use words. And they go, give me an example. I go, I'll give you an easy one. My sister Donna says, I love you to everybody. Right? She might say, I love you to people at Walmart. Right?
No, but...
but you could. No, it's a very refreshing thing to say. Yeah. And so whenever somebody's going to start telling me what Donna means, I'm going to go, let's look at her usage. My dad doesn't say, I love you.
Nope.
He's acts of service. He's not words of affirmation. So if he doesn't say, I love you verbally. He does it with acts of services. He comes over and fixes your car or fixes your taxes. he bails you out of jail like he did Julie. And somebody goes, well, he never says, I love you. Well, you never said, I love you to him. So it was communication. But I go, No, he does. I know, but no, you do. But the idea is going to be, I didn't mean to pick on you, but I'm saying the usage. So when my dad says I love you, it's going to be very minimal. Or not minimal, compared to Don.
More.
Just different.
Different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, man.
Okay, that's
so,
not.
But no, the point is, a lot of usage, not how the person uses it, is going to determine, okay, let's talk about Don, let's talk about Dad. How Yahweh uses his words is going to be nefesh. You look at the first usage of it. Let's see. I didn't mean to go off on a tangent. It's not about Don and Dad.
You're in big trouble now.
Just wait.
Genesis 1:20.
Yeah, we'll be. Yeah, we go into Genesis 1:20. So, how did he use it in the first usage? And then you could also go, what were Adam and Eve taught about nefesh? This Hebrew word, Genesis 1:2. And then the adversary said, did Yahweh say? And he attacks the word first and he changes the word. I heard a neat thing the other day. They said, so what is this whole story about Adam and Eve and the fruit and this and that? I said, well, you see, Adam and Eve were in the garden, and it says he put man in the garden to work. They were created to work. They go, really? Oh, yeah. We were created to work. Oh, man. They go, yeah, that's why 6 days you shall work. You know, man was created to work. If a man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. Oh, and they go, okay. That doesn't sound like the Garden of Eden to me. Oh, it was. So here's Adam and Eve. They're working the garden. They're looking around. They don't see no Yahweh. Where is this guy? This AWOL boss. And they're looking around. I don't know where Yahweh is. And then here comes this messenger of light, this beautiful Joel Osteen looking minister. And Joel Osteen's got this nice shine. And they go, who are you? They go, well, I'm the adversary. I thought you're supposed to be a serpent. I hate it when he calls me that. I'm beautiful. Because and they go, okay. And they go, and so they start talking to this man, the adversary, the angel of light says, man, you guys sure are working a lot. Yeah, we're working our butt off. He goes, where's your boss? Well, we have no idea. Well, let me tell you about your boss. And he goes, your boss is off golfing. He just wants slaves. Look at all this work. He doesn't even want you. And actually what we need to do, you guys, if we unionize, I tell you what, we can change all this. We'll make it God. So what happened in Genesis 3 is the adversary, Adam and Eve, unionized and rebelled against Jesus Christ. So it's kind of a funny story I got there. But here in the Garden of Eden, what were Adam and Eve taught about nefesh? Genesis 1:2. If you'd read, I have it up here. We got the New Living Translation. You can read
what do you want?
King James. But you're going to see Genesis 1:2.
1:20.
1:20. Excuse me. Thank you. One of the first usages of this word nefesh in the Old King James, it won't say creatures.
Yeah, I'll say, and Elohim said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life.
In the King James. And then, but the Old King James is going to say living souls. Okay. This word creatures, like Old Ted.
No, this is the King James.
No, the older King James.
This is
the
souls.
Old King James. Yeah, so the Rothman is going to.
This is souls.
Anyways, the word creatures here is the word nefesh. Okay? And so, creatures. So I'll just show you.
It's half. Half in the King James is nephesh. So in it, what it says is, and Elohim said, let the waters bring forth abundantly moving creatures that half. Half is nephesh.
Okay. You see, This is back to the usage of nephesh. You have living nephesh. So you read it in the Rotherham, Hannah?
You want me to read it?
Yeah.
And God said, let the waters swarm with an abundance of living souls, and birds shall fly over the earth, over the face of the expanse of the heavens.
So it's going to say living souls. And so the word souls, Genesis 1:20, the living souls, see the footnote D, see here, is going to be nephesh. It's the first usage. It's going to be, and it's a living nephesh. And it's also going to say, so if there's a living soul, there can also be what?
A dead soul.
A dead soul. You know, today what they teach is that there's a ghost that's inside you. Body, soul, and spirit or something. They say, but what were Adam and Eve taught? The animals became living souls. Not that they had souls, but they became souls. It's also going to say the same thing with the word nephesh with Adam and Eve. What was Moses taught about Adam and Eve? To say they became living souls. The nephesh, living souls. You're going to go, how in the world could that even be? So when somebody starts saying what happens to the soul, what do you believe? Do animals have a soul? You say, what Hebrew word are you talking about? I have no idea. Well, let's just take a look at it. What was Moses taught? It was going to be the nephesh. Then you can go back to, so your soul can die. Not your soul can die. You are a living soul. Genesis 1:24, animals are called living nephesh. You don't have a soul. You are a soul. Is that what Moses taught? Here's the Hebrew words. And you go, holy moly. So you go back to the original questions. You say, what were Adam and Eve taught about this word nephesh? It's not this ghost thing. It's completely contrary to everything we're taught today. And then we turn to 2 Kings chapter 22.
First Kings?
I didn't mean to pick on Dad and Donna. I just meant usage. I got one try. Sorry, guys. But I was with Donna and Dad when I learned the love language. I go, Donna's words of affirmation. Dad doesn't say I love you from
flattering words.
Yeah, Dad is actions. So I'm words of affirmation.
Me too.
Okay. And so here, so I started off with it'd be a difficult thing with nephesh. You look at about souls, you talk to somebody, you go, I don't know about that. But you go, we're going to look at what Josiah did. 22:1-2, 8 years old was Josiah when he began to reign. 31 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidiah, daughter of Adiah of Bozkath. And he did the thing that was right in the eyes of Yahweh and walked all the ways of David his father and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. E.W. Bullinger has a footnote on that. You know what he says? That's the only man in Scripture that's ever said about. No other king that is ever said about
can
except for Joseph.
Can you back that up? I just missed it. What are you talking? I mean...
Well, basically, Yahweh just complimented Josiah like he never complimented anybody else. He did think that was right in the eyes of Yahweh, walked all the ways that David his father and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. E.W. Bullinger said that's the only time it's ever said. What happens next? And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah, or Josiah. If you look at B, that's actually how you see the footnote B?
Yeah.
Yoshiyahu is what is actually how you pronounce it. In the 18th year of King Josiah, so I'm going to say this is 8 years old was Josiah, and I'd say it says right above it, 8 years old. So it could have said when he was 18 years old. E.W. Bullinger is going to also agree to say this was the 18th year of Josiah. So what is 8 plus 18? 26. He's 26 years old, and this teaching is going to say this is the 18th year. He's 26 years old. How long has he been a king? 18 years. Has he been doing a good job? At least it starts off now that Yahweh gives that compliment. Might not have been chronological. So here it is, 18th year. Why is that so important? Keep your finger here. Turn to Jeremiah 1. Somebody gets a page.
Jeremiah 1.
Jeremiah 1.
7:12.
Thank you. Isaiah was to Hezekiah what Jeremiah was to Josiah. His prophets. Do you think about Jeremiah? Unlike Isaiah, Jeremiah was living in the city he was prophesying against. Mm. He was going through a lot of... Not to discredit Isaiah, because that is one of my favorite guys, Isaiah. That's our cameraman. Okay. Verse 2. This is the beginning of Jeremiah the prophet. Would somebody please read verse 2?
Unto whom came the word of Yahweh in the days of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign.
What year?
13th
year.
Of his 26th.
13th year. What we just started was in the what year of Josiah?
18.
What's the difference?
5 years.
5 years. There's a very good possibility that Jeremiah had been prophesying to Josiah for 5 years. So this was news to me. And E.W. Bull is going to say, Dad did bring up a point. Dad thought that it was his 18th his of age. But then I looked up E.W. Bull. I thought you said that. Okay. No.
It's the opposite. In 2 Chronicles 34:8, it says, in the 18th year of his reign.
Okay. Say that again.
Yeah, 2 Chronicles 34, verse 8. It says, in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purified the land and the house.
Excellent. So, thank you. So I thought you'd made something another note. Perfect. So I'm glad you said that. Why is that important? Jeremiah, so that confirms, 5 years Jeremiah has been prophesying to Josiah. I just did a teaching on Josiah like a month ago. What's getting ready to happen in this chapter?
He's going to find God.
He's going to find something.
Yeah.
Jeremiah is prophesying to somebody that didn't have the word. You think that's easy?
No.
This guy's nuts. When I start saying Yahweh's name and Elohim and Jesus or Yahushua, people start going, who the heck is this dude? Jeremiah is prophesying to a king that doesn't have a word. He doesn't have the word. And then 18th year of his reign, let me see here, 21, Jeremiah's his 13th year, so I already read that. Read 3 through 8, if somebody, a fast reader, could read 3 through 8.
Jeremiah or Kings? He's not turning to anyone.
2 Kings. We're done with Jeremiah. Okay. 2 Kings 22, 3 through 8.
And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, son of Azaliah, son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of Yahweh, saying, go up unto Hilkiah the high priest, that he pour out the silver that had been brought into the house of Yahweh, which the keepers of the entrance of the hall have gathered from the people.
And so we could pause there, and we'll kind of speed up, because I got off some tangents. So, good intentions. He's sending orders out to this guy. What's this guy's name? Hilkiah, remember this guy's name? What is it? What is his job? He's the high priest. Okay, remember, at the same time, Daniel is in Babylon.
Yeah.
With Nebuchadnezzar. Israel had already been taken away. Here's Daniel. Poor Daniel is a eunuch. Now he's possibly either running Babylon or he's somewhere, one of the satraps. Jeremiah is somewhere prophesying to this king. And then, and are people listening to Jeremiah?
No.
And then here's Hilkiah, the high priest. If anybody would know Jeremiah's right, it'd probably be the high priest, right? The high priest is going to find out something here in a second.
Yes.
Are you okay, Mel? Okay. Let me see here. Now, verse 8, then said Hilkiah the priest unto Shaphan the scribe, the book of the law have I found. Footnote. Very, very, very important footnote right here. The book of the law. So what? You go back. E.W. Bollinger's note. Now, you can't read this. Do you know what they say about the book of the law? This is the original from Moses.
Oh, wow.
The original translation. E.W. Bollinger says, Manasseh, the most evil king of all Judah, got rid of all scriptures. Of course he did. He's evil. Scriptures, he attacks the word, right? E.W. Bulger goes, this is the original one that was hidden beside the Ark of the Covenant. You think that's original? Or you think that's important?
Yes.
Moses, Christopher Columbus, 1492. Moses, 1491. King David, 1000 B.C. How many years is that? 500 years. Right around there. 600-year-old manuscript of what? The Rotherham Bible or the Hebrew text? You think, what does it say? You've got to be kidding me. Can you imagine the relic? Wouldn't you want to read it? Well, read it. Read this thing. Read this thing. I thought all the world destroyed by Manasseh, the evil king. And you see it right here, E.W. Bulger's notes. It's going to say 18th year under footnote 3. It's not very clear. He's going to say this was the 18th year of the reign, which means Jeremiah had been a prophet for 5 years. In verse 8, the book of the law, the original copy of the Pentateuch, laid up beside the ark, Deuteronomy 31:24. You go read that. There was one copy that was supposed to be with the Ark of the Covenant. They find the original. You ever seen Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what this would have been. You've got to be kidding. You found the original thing. Verse 10. The footnote 10, especially those applicable to the circumstances. He's going to start talking about, you know what they're getting ready to read? Deuteronomy 28. You know what that is? It's the blessings, and then it's the cursings. That what you sow, you will reap. Leviticus 26. E.W. Bulger is going to say, you want to know what they read? footnote 11, he's going to rip his clothes. The neat thing about footnote 12, I'm getting ahead of myself, just so I can go to the next slide. We'll go back to verse, let me see here. Okay, so the book of the law, we'll go back to verse 8. The book of the law have I found in the house of Yahweh. So Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan, and what did he do?
Read
it. Whoop, 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 whoop! We've been doing teachings on body, soul, spirit. You have a soul, it goes here, this, that. What'd you find? Read this. This says, if you add to this book, you are cursed. It says in James 3, don't want to be a teacher because you'll have a higher judgment. What have we been teaching? Get rid of that book. That's what they would have done, or a lot of people would do. And I did the same thing when my dad confronted me about the woman caught in adultery. It's not in the text. I'm like, that's one of my favorite teachings I teach people. He goes, it's not in the text. I didn't like the messenger when he told me that. Then I had to go validate. I went, how could this be? Anyways, then came Shaphan the scribe unto the king. Would you like to read this to the king?
No.
It's the curses. You are cursed. You're about ready to get destroyed. What happened earlier than this? Israel was already carried away. Two kingdoms. Northern Israel, wicked, evil. Judah repents, is good. They're carried away. Hooks in their nose. Slaves, eunuchs. What happened to Daniel? He becomes a eunuch. You kidding me? Girls become harems. Why? Because they rejected Yahweh, their God. And then here this is, and they're reading, you guys are next. Hey, go tell the king. Go read this to him. Paper, rock, scissors, right? So Shaphan, the scribe, sent the king and brought the king word again and said, do you think their lives could have been online here?
Yeah.
Manasseh would have killed you. Saul would have killed you. Rehoboam probably would have killed you. Your life's on the line. What are you going to do? Are you going to tell him the truth? Are you going to tell him what he wants to hear? And so, let's see here. They pour out the silver, gold. We're going to stop here. Verse 10. And Shaphan, the scribe, told the king, saying, a book hath Hilkiah the priest delivered unto me. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he punched him in the face and threw him out of Jerusalem.
No.
What did he do?
He rent his clothes.
Ripped his clothes. He ripped his clothes. He went into a mourning. We're guilty. We're busted. Let me see here. I think Paragraph Bible. Another, what did E.W. Bulger and Paragraph and Rotherham have in common? They just want to tell you what's in the text. If you have a lawyer, you want them to tell you the truth? Mm. Hey, we're looking at 15 and 20 unless you plead guilty. Give me a minute. I don't want you to butter up. Tell me how bad this is. We're talking about the death sentence here. What? Throw yourself at the mercy of the court. Paragraph Bible is going to say the same thing. You have to read this. Check this out. Now, they're not as indefinite as E.W. Bolinger. Can you guys read that?
Yeah.
So read that out loud.
This may have been the original copy of the Law of Moses, see 2 Chronicles 34:14, or of the covenant which was renewed with the people in the plains of Moab, where they were laid up beside the ark, blah, blah, blah. It is probable that during the reigns of Manasseh and Amon, the reading of the scriptures had been prohibited and generally given up. And if some of the people had copies for their own private use, these would have been concealed on account of the fear of persecution.
You know what happens now if you start going back to the Hebrew words of the Rotherham Bible?
Yeah.
Get rid of that book. No, 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 no. I want my New Living Translation. I want my Message. You know, and so they have the original copy.
Well, if you read Chronicles, it says, as they were taking out the silver which had been brought into the house of Yahweh, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of Yahweh by the hand of Moses.
Okay, wow, okay.
That's what they're saying. It could be the original.
Excellent.
The other one didn't say by the hand of Moses. This one says by the hand of Moses.
That's excellent. Hey, when he says that, make sure you film it, please. Because no, that's perfect. If you have that in, they're going to go... Jeremiah had been preaching for 5 years. He probably looked like a lunatic. Cuckoo or whatever, but it was probably power too. And I was sat there as I read this, as I didn't know any of this. I just did a teaching on this. And Yahweh blew my mind when I read, what chapters you want me to read today so I can look at Facebook? I got to read 2 chapters so I can look at Facebook. It's my social life. Read 1 Corinthians 12. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12. I got done reading it. The next word of knowledge. Well, I was like, obviously 13 is the next one, right? Because I'm right here. No, go to Jeremiah 1. But I'm right here, man! Jeremiah 1. Oh, okay. Then right with the Jeremiah 1, Yahweh showed this to me. And I went, what did they read? When I first read this, I didn't know about the original copy of the law. I didn't know about what Dad just said or E.W. Bolinger. But I'm going, what did they read? What did they read? And then I was like, and Jeremiah was a prophet to a king without an accurate translation. I'm sure they had lots of books. Oh, lots of books to read, a lot of things to quote. Our fathers wash their hands. And I went, what did they read? And this was neat. As I was meditating, my whole world went out. Oh my goodness, you know what they read? They just read what Jeremiah had been saying. Why? It's the same author, baby. Yeah. Does Yahweh have foresight?
Yeah.
Jeremiah, go prophesy. Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and the cursings. Woo! Jeremiah, go tell them what's going to happen. I am Yahweh thy Elohim. Thou shalt not have any other Elohims beside me. Nothing beside me. They like those golden calves. But he didn't. And I can imagine as he started reading it, boom, because it's the same author. And he's alive, he's inside Jeremiah, and he was inside Josiah. And I bet you goosebumps. Because what's going to happen? That what you sow, you will reap, King Josiah. You have a court date. Are you preparing for the court date? I knew one guy who was a gangbanger in high school, and he would talk. Oh, he was the toughest guy ever. Oh, he's going to tell the judge this, he's going to tell the judge that. And then one of my buddies said, you should have saw him before that judge. He was crying. I go, really? I thought he was going to tell that judge off. Oh, no. When he got that court date, he sobered up real quick. And I go, what happened? He goes, the judge gave him mercy. I couldn't. He was smart. He goes, hey, he sobered up real quick. And here's Josiah. You got a court date. What are you going to do, Josiah? Can you imagine when Jeremiah got to hear that? Have you ever delivered a message to somebody that looked like it was going on deaf ears? They think like you're a lunatic. And Jeremiah didn't know they were going to find the original copies. Can you imagine the comfort, Jeremiah? They found the original manuscripts. First of all, if I was Jeremiah, I would probably have made me weep. There's still Yahweh's law. Second of all, they just read what I've been telling them. We just had that happen when we were in Colorado. We got invited to a Bible study. What were they teaching on?
Corinthians.
Power. We should be power. Speaking in tongues. Tongues of interpretation. We're like... you got to be kidding us. Anyways, the king rips his clothes. Here's the next very interesting thing. I got excited. Lost my page.
407.
Thank you. I get a little excited. Ask Caitlin about that. So what does he do? He rips his clothes. Let's see here. Oh! Let me see here. What does he do? He rips his clothes. Can you imagine the tension with Hilkiah and Shaphan? Verse 12. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest. This is the high priest. Hey, high priest! You're fired! What am I fired? Why didn't you tell me this? No, he didn't say that. But you're the high priest! You know that the wrath of Yahweh is about ready to come down on us? He goes, hey, high priest. Then Hilkiah, son of Shaphan, and Achbor, son of Micaiah, Shaphan, the scribe, and Azan, the king's servant, saying, go inquire of Yahweh for me and for the people of all Judah concerning the words of this book. Well, which we just found. Is this Rotherham real? Because James 3 says, don't want to be a teacher, because you'll be a higher judgment for the teachers. I remember that before I started teaching. Concerning for Judah, concerning the words of this book, which hath been found, for great is the wrath of Yahweh in us. It hath fired up against us because of our fathers have not hearkened unto the words. This is after he was, remember his great start? Let's see here. Words of the book, which we had done. So verse 14, so Hilkiah the priest and Akim and Achbor and Shaphan and Asa went up to who? Jeremiah the prophet.
Nope.
Why didn't they go to Jeremiah? Where's Jeremiah? Do you know what I'm thinking? We need a validation. We already know what Jeremiah said. We know what the book said. This is my own opinion. Go find another prophet. Another prophet. So what do they do? Because why didn't they go to Jeremiah? Jeremiah had been around 5 years. And the reason why I say that is because Josiah had a great heart. Josiah does a 180. Josiah starts a possible civil war in the next pages. You want to know how many nasty, wicked things, child sacrifices? They had male prostitutes at the temple? Right now, I had a friend, a guy who moves here from Africa, and he asked me, what's going on in the United States? And he said, what's up with the Democrats and stuff? I said, they chop up baby parts and they sell them. He goes, why do they say that's women's rights? He goes, that is the craziest thing ever. He goes, there's churches in America that do abortions. He goes, and here's this guy from Kenya. He couldn't get over it. I go, it's their high places. And so there's the same thing. But anyways, they don't go to Jeremiah. They go to Huldah, the prophetess, wife of Shalom, son of Tikva, son of Harass, a keeper of the vestments. She having her dwelling in Jerusalem in the new city, and spake unto her. And she said unto them, thus saith Yahweh Elohim of Israel. Say unto the man who has sent you unto me, thus saith Yahweh, behold me, about to bring calamity upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, all the words of this book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me, burned incense. Well, it was in ignorance. We were ignorant. Tell that to the judge. They forsaken me, they burnt incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the workmanship of their hands, so that my wrath shall fire up against this place and shall not be quenched. But unto the king of Judah, who has sent you into inquire of Yahweh, thus shall ye say unto him, thus saith Yahweh Elohim of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because tender was thy heart when thou did humble thyself before Yahweh, whom thou heardest, what I had spoken against this place and against the inhabitants, therefore that they should become a desolation and a curse, and didst rent thy clothes and weep before me. Yahweh saw his tears. He repented. Therefore also I have hearkened, declareth Yahweh, for this God will hold me about to gather thee into thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy graves in peace, and thine eyes shall not look upon all the misfortune which I am about to bring upon this place. Isn't that neat? Where's Jeremiah? He does a 180. You want to know how evil they are? You guys? See this right here? Here's all the idols. They start getting... What does he do? This is a civil war, in my opinion. Because what does he do? Josiah gets up. He commands Hilkiah, you read this to everybody. You're about ready to get wiped out. Your extra gods, fornication everywhere, child sacrifices, tell to the judge. They hear this. They're, oh, yeah, we know the word. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. You got images everywhere. And what does he do after they read it? he starts smashing their images in front of them. Do you think they like that?
No.
How do you think Catholics would feel if you started smashing their... You'd be crying and screaming. And you know what happened next? He starts smashing all these things. The priests put to death. Here's all these idols. This whole paragraph, and then it goes over here. Prostitutes, Moloch, chariots to the sun, horses to the sun. Here's stuff from King Solomon left. And what does he do? He had a choice. He did it. And what does he do? He starts wiping all out. And the neat thing about that is why I think there would have been a great civil war, because you know what happens right after he dies? The people go right back to all this. So I bet you, you think Donald Trump's hated? That's nothing. Donald Trump's not killing Planned Parenthood right now. Just wipe them out. Planned Parenthood should be, you're out. All the rest of this stuff. But you got to read what he did. And then it says the Passover he did after. There was never a Passover like that. And the neat thing is that later on, Jeremiah is telling the last king of Judah, let Nebuchadnezzar take you away. You'll live. Don't fear the princes. And what does he do? He fears the princes and he ends up dying. But you're going to say, well, Josiah did it. Leviticus 17:10 is another one back to Nefesh. It's going to say the Nefesh is in the blood. The soul is in the blood. You're going to go, what were you talking about? You start looking at these things. And Josiah, the difference is everybody's got a court date. When are you going to kneel before Jesus Christ? Does he come back today? Are you going to get run over by a truck? And if we're like Josiah, you know what happened? You throw yourself at the mercy of his foot and just go, I don't care if people abandon me. I want to get right in your eyes. But how important, you know, is the Rotherham Bible? And the Rotherham's not perfect, but man, it's the closest thing you can get to original manuscripts. How about this one? Psalms 116:15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. This is read at funerals. As if Yahweh delights in the death of his children. And you read almost every translation, modern translation, say it's precious. The word precious is costly. It's expensive. Yahweh mourns with his children. And you're going to say, okay, how important is the right translation? Let's see here. King Josiah had translators too. They had all kinds of translators. Actually, some people that I've been witnessing to, one of them is supposed to be being raised up in scriptures, hasn't been taught anything about scriptures. No scriptures at all.
Who?
This guy I know.
Oh.
And the person that is supposed to be raising with the seminary, you know how much they teach about scriptures? Here's sermons. Here's your 6 sermons you teach a year. That's it. They don't say it that way, but I get to listen. And you know, you don't know the Hebrew words? You don't study the Greek words? You don't... What do you do? And they're like, that's what Josiah would have had too, until somebody showed the original translations. What did he do?
The original.
Let me see here. Here's another really neat note by E.W. Bullman. These are free on the website. You can download free PDFs. We have zero excuses, especially this time. You know, Yahweh, if somebody's on a desert island, they're born, he and a husband and a wife have a kid, his parents die, he raises himself. If he dies, and he goes before Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ goes, why didn't you keep my commandments? Didn't know there were any. Ah, he didn't know what they were. What did he do with his life? Oh, he was pretty honorable. Okay. For us, though, you had Bibles everywhere. You wouldn't even open them up. Now, we'll still be saved. But here's the neat thing about, see this footnote 1? E.W. Bullinger is going to say, this is about Josiah. Let's see if I can scroll in. Yeah, can you guys see that?
Yeah.
8 years, Manasseh began. He was 8 years old. Manasseh began at age 12. Manasseh was bred under a godly Hezekiah. What happened to Manasseh? The most evil king in Judah. He turns around, 50 years, the most evil king there was in Judah. Josiah began at age 8, bred by an ungodly Ammon. What does he do? He does a 180. So everybody makes mistakes. Everybody teaches mistakes. And I was trying to tell Caden that too. When you mess up, it's what you do after your mistakes. And once you discover your error, that's what really determines your character. And if you're really preparing for your our final destination. And that's why James 3:1 says, don't, you know, if we have teachers that are teaching error, and we never confront them, how do you have the love of God in you? Right? You know they're teaching error. You know when they get judged. Not many teachers become you, my brother, knowing that a severe sentence, they got a severe sentence, you're not going to at least warn them? You're going to go, we shouldn't warn them. You just say, you know that's error? Well, I'm going to keep teaching. Okay, as long as I got you. But that is the love of God. I'll go ahead and close. Father, we thank you for these words. We thank you for your words. And we thank you that correct a wise man, he'll thank you. We thank you for correcting us and helping us and being patient with us. And we thank you for your calling on our life. And don't be fearful. Quit looking at other people. Don't worry about anything else. When I give you your direction like I am right now, the next thing that happens every time I give you these directions is the excuses start piling up. What about, what about, what about, what about? What I'm doing right now, before any of these other things, is I want you to make a decision right now. Will you follow me? Then prepare yourself for the excuses and the reasons for you not to follow me. But make a decision right now. And what will happen is as you keep following me, these other things will fall. They will fall to the side. And you'll walk through them. I can see it like going through vines. Just keep pressing through. And as you follow me, all these cares will be taken care of. Amen.
Hallelujah.